It's nice to be with you on this beautiful day. Appreciate the fact that you're making a visit with us. Encourage you to get your Bible and search the Scriptures with us. Perhaps you've seen advertisements that have been launched from a marketing campaign featuring real people, not actors. That's in contrast with those who employ actor portrayal. I'm capitalizing on that to talk to us today about the fact that you and I as Christians are to be a real people, not actors. Oftentimes the Scriptures talk about an unfeigned love and faith. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul penned, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith." And then writing dispersed disciples in 1 Peter 1 and in verse 22, Peter said, "Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." You might underscore pure and unfeigned in those passages. James in chapter 3 taught about the fact that we need to be a people that are without hypocrisy. He asked the question in verse 13, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." And then in that context, he said in verse 17, "The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality," listen, "and without hypocrisy." You might underscore those last two words, "without hypocrisy." A hypocrite is an actor or stage player, one who is a dissembler or pretender. To help us to be a real people, not actors, what I'd like for us to do in our study is call attention to some people who teach us to be real people, not actors. You might like to make a list of these. I begin by talking to us about the Pharisees. That'll be fresh on our minds, at least those of us who found it within the framework of our time schedule to be present for Bible study. In Matthew chapter 23, the Lord talked about these people and he pronounced a series of woes upon them. He said in Matthew 23 and in verse 3 that all their works they do to be seen of men. In verse 5, they say and do not. And seven times within this chapter, he addresses them as hypocrites. You might circle that word. Like in verse 13, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." In verse 25, he said, "You make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess." And so on the outside they appeared clean and beautiful, but within an ugly picture. Again in verse 27, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness." We learn from this. These people were not real people, were they? Oh, they were physically real, but spiritually they were actors. They're just pretenders. They were like a stage player playing a part. The Lord talked about that in addressing the people in their prayers in Matthew chapter 6. He said in verse 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are." How are they, Lord? "They love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men." And the Lord said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." And it's in that context that he said, "When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." What do you learn from these people? To be real people, not actors. Remember the portion of the hypocrite, as the Lord said in Matthew 24 and verse 51, "Cut asunder there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So as you make your list of people who teach us to be real people, not actors, think about the Pharisees. Another individual who teaches us this real lesson is Judas. In the book of Matthew 26 and verse 14, he's identified as one of the 12, that is, the 12 apostles, chosen by the Lord to be one of his personal representatives and spent much time with him personally. It's in Matthew 26 that we find him with others at the Passover as he had instructed his 12 to make things ready. They did as he has appointed, Matthew 26 and verse 19. And Jesus made this announcement as recorded in verse 21. Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. They began to be exceeding sorrowful and to say, Lord, is it I? And according to verse 23, the Lord said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. I learned that though his hand was with the Lord, his heart certainly wasn't, as he is identified as a traitor in Luke 6 and in verse 16. When Luke, the historian, Acts chapter 1, commented on Judas, he referenced him as being guide to them that took Jesus. That's Acts 1 and verse 16. And in verse 25, he is reported as having by transgression failed. And so when you look at the life of Judas, what do you learn? We need to be real people, not actors. But also, when I come to Acts chapter 5, I find another example of the fact that we need to be a genuine people. When I read about Ananias and Sapphira, it's in the midst of disciples in need. We have a good example of Barnabas, who having land sold it, brought it to the apostles' feet. Distribution was made in Acts 4. In chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira get in on that. But you've got quite the contrast between Barnabas and this couple. They have a possession. Nothing wrong with having a possession. They sold their possession. Nothing wrong with selling your possession. Kept back part of the price. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is they lied about it. They pretended. They acted as if they'd given all of it. Acts 5:2 says, kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? You might circle that word lie. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. He lied about his giving. And God didn't like that. As a result of his hypocrisy, just acting, not being real, not being sincere, not being genuine, what happened to him? Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost immediately, instantaneously. He lied and he died, didn't he? And what happened as a result of that? Fear came on all them that heard these things. About 3 hours after, his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Peter said, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Can you imagine? How would you have felt had you heard those words? She fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. You see, when you lie, when you're dishonest, you're not real. And some people are such habitual liars. You don't know when they're lying or telling the truth, and they don't either. In light of that, we need to heed the admonition of Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, When he said in verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, share man truth with his neighbor. Revelation 21 describes the final abode of all liars. When John the Revelator said, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Where you learn from Ananias and Sapphira need to be real people, right? And not actors. Another example of that is in the book of Romans chapter 2. When you talk about the Jews, in Romans 1, Paul addressed the sinfulness of the Gentile people. And in chapter 2, he discusses the Jewish people. He said in verse 1 of Romans 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest them of doing the same thing. These Jews as making in the law, making the law as well. Confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? And he gives some illustrations of that. Thou that preachest that man should not steal, dost thou steal? You see, a man who would preach against stealing and then steal is not a real preacher. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. You see, when your life is not real, it gives occasion for folks to blaspheme, that is, to speak against the truth. And then in this closing section of Romans 2, he teaches the need to be a true Jew, not one outward, but inward. He said in Romans 2 and 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter. Praise is not of man, but of God. You might underscore inward as opposed to outward. That's the contrast. Verses 28 and 29. In keeping with our theme today, real people, not actors, come back with me to our good reading a moment ago from the book of Galatians chapter 2, where Paul said he had to withstand somebody. Remember that? In Galatians 2:11. He said, when Peter said, Paul, I withstood him to the face. Why'd you withstand him to the face? Because he was to be blamed. What blame was associated with Peter on this occasion? He said before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, here's the difference between before and after. He withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which are of the circumcision. Who's that? That's the Jews. And so when the Jews weren't around, he would live like the Gentiles. But then when the Jews were around, he withdrew, he separated from the Gentiles, and he acted like a Jew. And he was influential. This, you know, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. This was a pervasive influence that spread among others. He said in verse 13, the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. You see, a hypocrite is a dissembler. And they dissembled with him. They were caught up in his hypocrisy. Insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. And Paul said, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter, this goes back to when Paul said, I withstood him to the face. What did you do when you withstood him to the face? What did you say to Peter, Paul? I said unto Peter before them all, and this was done publicly, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? In other words, if you're a Jew and you're living like the Gentiles, what are you doing trying to get the Gentiles to live like the Jews? You see the hypocrisy? What do you learn from that? I need to be real. I need to be genuine. And sometimes there are Christians like that. We've got members of the church who are supposed to be saints, sanctified, set apart from uncleanness to holiness, who are living like the world. When other Christians aren't around, they act like the world acts. And then when Christians come around, they kind of withdraw themselves, separate themselves, and start trying to live like a Christian. And so while they're living like the world, they're trying to get the world to live like a Christian. That'd be an application of that principle. When Peter, a Jew, lived like the Gentiles, trying to get the Gentiles to live like Jews. And here we are, Christians, called out, trying to be transformed, living like the world and getting the world to live like a Christian. Why is it sometimes we have a hard time getting the world into the church? Because sometimes we don't have the world out of the church. We've got to get the world out of the church. You know, there's nothing wrong with the boat being in the water, but when you got the water coming in the boat, you got problems. And that's happening spiritually. We've got too much in us. And we're to love not the world, 1 John 2:15 through 17. And we must not forget that. Because it'll keep us from being real, from being genuine and sincere like we ought to be. And then one final example that I thought of as I was impressed with some of these advertisements featuring people, not actors. I thought about church members in Smyrna in Revelation 2. Among the letters written to the seven churches in Asia, in Revelation 2 and 8, under the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Each letter begins with a description of the Lord. And lots of things to be learned about Him from those descriptions. What's He have to say to the Smyrna people? I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know. He begins by saying, I know. You see, the Lord is very familiar and acquainted with the church. He knows more about this church than any of us. He knows more about you than you. In fact, He knows the number of hairs on your head. And He said, I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And so He knew the difference between those who are real and those who weren't. And He knows if I'm real, and He knows if you're acting or just playing a part. You see, there were those who professed to be Jews. Who would profess today to be a member of the Church of Christ, say, rather to be called a member of the Church of Satan, not genuine. Blasphemy. That's what it boils down to. When we're not real, we're not genuine, we're just acting, we're just playing a part. Living a lie, you see. We're pretending to be something we're not. We're guilty of blasphemy. We need to be a people of godly sincerity to borrow the expression of Paul in 2 Corinthians 1 and in verse 12. Got to circle that, highlight it, write that down, capitalize it. Godly sincerity. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, Paul said, "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity." That's 2 Corinthians 2:17. When the church at Corinth had a problem of insincerity in the form of immorality in their midst, they were to put that away. And he said, malice and wickedness, leaven, bread of writing to Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 24, his closing statement to these people. Grace be with who? All them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. So he said? Period? No. Insincerity. Grace be to who? All them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Insincerity. Sincerity. In Titus 2:8, when Paul talks about the young man being an example, he said, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity," what's the last word? Sincerity. Each one of us would do well to show ourselves a pattern that is imitated when it comes to our sincerity. In 1 Samuel 16:7, I close with this passage. When Samuel thought the Lord's anointed was before him, the Lord in essence said, "No, that's not him." He said unto Samuel, "Look not on high, seeth. For man looketh," where's he look? "On the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." I'm not the judge. I don't be sincere and be phony. And if a person may appear to be acting, they may be the judge. But the Lord looketh, can't fool him. You see, just like these other stories talked about, all six of these, the Lord disguise off, didn't he? He unmasked these people and exposed them for who and what they really were. And there's coming a day in the which we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to hear either, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And so, in light of all of this, may God help each one of us to be real. To be real with ourselves, to be real with each other, and to be real with the Lord. If the Lord's Word, which is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, Hebrews 4:12, has exposed hypocrisy in our lives, anything that's fake or phony, that's not sincere or genuine, may we take note of that and make the proper correction. It's not about just doing the right thing, but doing it with the right motivation, with the right frame of mind, being sincere. Unlike the Pharisees, the Lord reprimanded in Matthew chapter 15. He said, "They do honor me with their mouth." Remember that? But he said, "Their hearts are far from me." And so, let's get our hearts in tune with our mouths, and our mouths in tune with our hearts, so that we're not just paying lip service to the Lord. Perhaps you've not yet taken up your cross to follow after Jesus, and we want you to know all things are made ready that you might do that today. Would you come, believing with all of your heart, to repent of your sins, to bring forth fruits or meat, works, meat, or fit for repentance, to confess with your mouth, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We'll be happy to baptize. Water's warm. All things are ready. Garments, towels, everything that is needed. has been provided, that you might be immersed in water for the remission of your sins and added to the church. To be a sincere, godly Christian, to love the Lord in all sincerity. If you need to repent of any wrongdoing, we urge you to do that as we stand ready to pray with you about that. We bid you come now while we stand and sing, if we can assist you in that.